Your word became flesh and dwelt among men. Your word turns us inside out, takes us out of a dark place into a glorious place of life and light. I thank you, Father, that the word today will be just explosions of your word today, plant in our heart. And we thank you for fruit bearing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you would like to a Bible to use, raise your hand. We've got a bunch of extras, okay, because I make you flip. Got one over here. Good to see you, Vicki. Hey, good to see a whole bunch of you that I haven't seen in a while because you're in town visiting. Thank you so much for coming. Glad to see you. All right. I've got one up here, Rod, next to Randy. That's Vicki. Okay, anybody else? You got one? Okay, give her two. No, I'm only kidding. Go ahead. All righty. I see grandmas and grandpa in the back. You guys, I love it. So my dear friend told me she was going to come down, and they were visiting today. And I was like, well, I'm probably going to see you in 2 more days. What are you coming for? She goes, oh, the grandchildren are singing. And I was like trying to talk her out of it. I said, well, they're only singing one song. Duh, I am not a grandparent. She goes, no, they asked Grammy and Pappy to come. So, and I was talking to Tracy's mom. She goes, you don't get it. I was like, nope, not yet. But someday I'll be a grandparent. First we get married, then we have grandbabies. You know, you go for those rules here. Okay, so I just loved it. Amen. Alrighty. I had prayed a lot the last 2 weeks about this, and it looks like I may get lost on the path and the journey, but hang on there. We're going to talk. I'm going to schmooze through real fast the Christmas story so I can get to the boom and end over here. So I'm not lost. I know where I'm going. You just flip pages with me. Open up to Philippians 2 first. And then we're going to do Luke, the Christmas story out of Luke. But start with Philippians with me, would you guys? Philippians 2, 6, and 7. And you can throw that up on the overhead if you like. I'm going to try reading out of the King James. You know me. The New King James. Philippians 2, 6, and 7. Wow, I'd read the whole chapter. It's so good. But okay, I'm going to throw 5 in there because it's just a good one I always like. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and becoming in the likeness of men. This is the time of year we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. It's one of the greatest miracles in this Bible. But I want to tell you, there was a whole bunch of miracles that had to happen to get to that day. And that day was just the beginning of a great day. You follow that? Isn't that cool? So, because of his great love for you and me, Jesus was willing to lay down a really good place, a glory, a heaven, all that he was going to lay it down for us to come in the form of men. Now, right there, you go, good thing he didn't ask me. I probably wouldn't have done it. But the love of God would do that. And he came so he could live among us and purchase our salvation. That's what Christmas is all about. And we get sometimes stuck on the baby, but the best part was he was coming so he could purchase our salvation. That's the real love. That's the real love of the season. That's the real reason for the season. So flip over to Luke then now, would you please? Luke chapter 1. So the real reason of the season is for him to come for us. Luke 1, I'm going to give you the Cashman version, starting around verse 5. It's about Zechariah. He was a priest. His wife was Elizabeth. She was of the order of Aaron. So she comes from a heritage, a big heritage of believers, of God seekers, of the righteous. And so did her husband, Zechariah. And they had been serving the Lord for many years, and it was his day to be chosen to go into the holy temple and to burn incense. Now, let me give a little background before he gets there. Zechariah and Elizabeth had been married a long time, and they were unable to have children. Matter of fact, the Bible says, and they were now too old. They were too old, all right? So you got to get hold of that. And he goes in now, he goes into the temple to burn incense, and he has an encounter, a heavenly encounter. He encounters an angel, right? And the angel appears to him, and the first thing angels say, 99.9 times, what do they say? Say that again. I know, it's not because they look like the boogeyman. No, it is because of the glory that they carry, and I'm sure the way they look. I have not seen one. But they always say that, fear not. So the angel of the Lord appears, and he says, fear not, your prayers have been heard. Your wife will have a son. And then he gives very specific directions. What does he say? You will call him John. Now, I know a little bit about this. In the Jewish culture, even to this day, if you're a real good Jewish mama and papa, when you have the firstborn, you name it after a relative. And there were no Johns. There were no Johns in Zechariah or Elizabeth's house, but God tells them. So I think if God tells you what to name your kid, they obey. All right? Okay, so jump down to verse 14, would you please? Luke 1, verse 14. And this angel gives some information about this baby, who they're going to call John, and he says, you'll have great joy in having this baby. Well, of course. I would have said, of course. We've been trying to have a baby for years. Now we're too old. Of course we're going to have a great joy. But he says, then he puts the icing on it. He says, and many will rejoice at his birth, right? More directions, verse 15. He will drink no wine or strong drink. He will be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, even in the Elizabeth's womb. And this is the good part. He will turn back and cause many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. That's good news. That's just part of the miracle of what's going to happen next. So now, flip over to John 1 and verse 78. So finally, Elizabeth conceives. She has this baby. His name is John. And as soon as this baby's born, Zechariah, who because of his unbelief wasn't able to talk, now is able to talk. And he starts, because of the Holy Spirit, prophesying. He starts prophesying about his son, but then he starts prophesying about this baby Jesus that was to come, the Messiah. He starts prophesying. And in verse 78, Luke 1, 78, he says, God was going to send, am I on the wrong page? Oh, did I say John? Luke, stay in Luke. Sorry about that. I hear y'all look at, just say D, wrong page. Okay, and I have it written in front of me. All right, okay, I'll give you time. Back to Luke. Verse 78. We're going to do Luke 1, verse 78 and 79. Through the tender mercies of God, with which the day spring from on high has visited, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way. Have you ever sat in darkness? If you are born again, there was a time when you sat in darkness. And this was a prophecy of the Messiah and what he was called to do. Everybody say he was called to give light to those in darkness. Shh, wonderful, wonderful. And now the rest of that verse, the last verse, it says the little boy grew, became strong in the spirit. All right, that's part one. This is part one of the miracle. Part two of the miracle, jump down to Luke 2. This is Joseph and Mary, and they're supposed to get married. Only thing, the Holy Spirit comes. The angel appears to Mary, tells Mary she's going to have a son, the Messiah, and you're going to name him. I love the way they pick names. They don't get that book of 1,000 names. God picks names, Right? God picks names, says your name, you're going to call him Jesus. It means Savior. It means Emmanuel. It means all that good stuff. So in chapter 2, they're on a journey because Caesar, what's his name? Caesar what? Caesar Augustus. I should have known that. With a name like that, Caesar Augustus, commands that everybody has to be counted. They're going to take a census in the land. And you have to go back to your hometown. Bev, back to your people. We have this thing. Bev's always going, their people. It's a Bible thing, she told me. This is it. They had to go back to their people. And so they end up going back to their people. Only thing, Mary is very, 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 very pregnant. She goes into labor and she has this baby, right? She has this baby, Jesus. Now, there's no room in the inn. She gives birth. Her first son wraps him in swaddling clothes, lays him in a manger. There's no room. All right, that's the second miracle. Third miracle, verse 8. Look at this, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. I want to tell you something. I taught this last Sunday in prayer about watchers and lookers. And you are all called to be watchmen, Donna, watchers and lookers in prayer. And had they not been doing their job, now you think, oh, they're just watching sheep. They watched through the night. I think they were watching for something bigger than that. And there was something bigger than that. So I challenge you, you be watchers of prayer. Watchers, in prayer. And you watch and you look, keep your ears open, and God will tell and show you things. So getting back to these shepherds, they were watching and guiding and tending their sheep at night, and they have an encounter with the angel. And what does the angel say, everybody? Fear not. All right, fear not. And he says, I give you good news, joyful news for everyone, for all people. Verse 10 and 11, for to you is born this day in the town of David a Savior who is the Christ the Lord. They make that angel spits that sentence out. With that, the next verse it says, all of a sudden, with that one angel joins a army of angels. They call them a heavenly host, an army of angels that filled the sky. And what are they? This is the original Hallelujah chorus, you know that. This is it. You think Handel's Messiah got it? This was it. And they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. All right, that's the third miracle. So the shepherds get all this information from this angel. They take off to find Mary, Joseph, baby. They find it just like the angel said. And then they start praising God, and they go back home. All right, now I'm leading up to here where this is really where I want to go. Well, now I have one more. The next miracle, turn over to Luke 2:25. The next miracle is now Jesus has passed his 8th day. He's been circumcised. He has to go to the temple. He goes there, and there's this old guy named Simeon. Is that pronounced that right, Simeon? Simeon. And Simeon had been told by the Lord that he would not die until... He was told by the Lord, and it doesn't say if he had a dream or a thought or an angel. It doesn't tell you, but it says he was told that he would not die until he saw, what's it say? The consolation of Israel. All right, now what that meant was until he saw the Messiah. This guy, can you imagine getting up every morning? I wonder if this is the morning. I am going to see. I'm not just going to hear, I'm going to see the Messiah. Man, I'd run to work every day happy, wouldn't you? All right? Every morning he'd get up, run to the temple, just waiting. Well, this is the day. He goes to the temple. He is expecting. And in walks Mary, Joseph, and this baby. He scoops this baby up. And I'm glad he didn't drop it. And he just starts praising God and giving glory to God. Now he didn't know it by looking at this baby. He didn't know it because they said, Mary said, excuse me, this is the Messiah. No, he had a knowing from the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Holy Spirit still talks today. You just got to clean your ears out. He talks to you all the time, all right? So, hallelujah, come expect him to talk to you, all right? So he goes in there, and let me think, what else did he say? Oh, this is a good one. Verse 29, let's jump down there. Okay, 28, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart according to your word. Now I get to die, hallelujah. That's what he was saying. And my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. A light to bring a revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people of Israel. All right. Christmas time, I love Christmas time. I love decorating. I love lights. I love driving around. I'm the biggest kid. And who's it? Cindy was told me to go over, where's that? College Avenue and Hoke Street. If you want to see an overdose of decorations, go there. All right. And I just, praise God, I haven't had an accident because I'm driving around looking at everybody's houses. I love looking at the lights. All right. So as this was all, I knew today was coming, and I knew, Lord, I got to have a message here. And I just kept hearing, he says, what do you delight in? I said, the lights, Lord. I just like the lights. All right. So we've heard a couple of scriptures where Jesus was and is the light of the world. All right, this is where I'm really going. That was just fluff, which you already knew, right? All right, the lights remind us of Jesus because Jesus is the light of the world. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not be in darkness, but will have the light, which is life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who has me has light. And life, and a whole bunch of other good stuff, right? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, he knew who he was, and he knew what he was supposed to be doing. What was he? The light of the world, and he knew what he was to do. He was supposed to give light to the world. He was supposed to die also, all right? So he knew what he was supposed to do. Now, I want to tell you, he may have known who he was and what he's supposed to do, but he just really irritated a whole bunch of people, didn't he? Man, those Pharisees, Sadducees, and all that bunch just were wonderfully ticked by him. And they criticized him. They tried to throw him off a cliff. Just horrible things. But it didn't keep him from knowing who he is and what he was to do. Matter of fact, he said, listen, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sick, dying, hurt, ugly, messed up. And he just went about doing what he was supposed to do. He knew he was the light, and he knew what he was supposed to do. So my question to you today is, what do you think you're doing? What do you think you're doing? What do you think you're doing? All right, I'll give you some answers. Turn over to Matthew 5. I just tickled myself doing this. I just look so excited. Okay, all right. Matthew 5, he knew who he was, the light of the world, and he knew what he was supposed to do. When you know him, you'll know who you are and what you're supposed to do, right? That's not hard math. 1 + 1 = 2. When you know him, the light of the world, you'll know who you are, and you'll know what you're supposed to do. Right? That's what this message is about. Okay? Matthew 5:13. I'm going to do two parts of this, salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. All right? So what are you? This is Jesus. This is red letter. How many have one of those Bibles with the red letter? This is Jesus saying, you are what? Salt of the earth. Now, most of us just think I'm salt for some little club, my little family. No, no. What did it say there? You are salt of the earth. I got news. It's bigger than your little world. And you need to think big. You are salt. So if you know who you are, you'll know what to do. So what are you? You salty bunch. You're salty. Okay, now, probably when you first read this, you're going, why do you take salt, you know? My kids like sriracha sauce. It says hot sauce. They would rather you said, I am sriracha, hot. But Jesus said salt, and that's because back in his day, they didn't have refrigeration. Salt was probably the second most valuable commodity, aside from the sun. Salt. Salt was a preservative. Salt seasons. They also paid you many times in salt. It was that valuable. Preservative. I remember one time we were in Jamaica, and they served us salted cod. I saw that thing all dried out. It looked like, yeah. All right, dried out, and then they soaked it. But they preserved it first by soaking it in salt. Then you had to soak it in water, and it's still yucky. So I said, I have my no thank you portion, and I had it, and then I passed it. Okay, so salt is a preservative. It purifies, it creates thirst, and it melts. Think about that. Now, if Jesus said, you are the salt, that means you are a preservative. Listen, guys, Jesus just didn't come, boom, leave. He left his light and his love and his power inside you. And there's always a preservative in the world. It's us. And the world needs to be purified, preserved, and they need you. Okay, so it's a preservative. I want to save the last one for the best. Okay, the next one, it purifies. Have you ever had a boo-boo and you go to the ocean and it also heals, right? It goes in there, it cleans it out, stings like the dickens, but it cleans it out, all right? One time I had poison ivy, many times I've had poison ivy at the beach. I go down there and I just stand in there. Salt, okay, it does that. It also, melts ice. How many of you know people whose hearts are so hard? That's why you are the salt of the earth. That's why you need to get around the world. You get into people's lives. You melt their hearts by your life, right? All right, so how does this happen? How do I become, you know, Jesus said you're the salt of the earth. How do you get to be the salt of the earth? It's just an overflow of who's inside of you. You don't go like this. You know what it looks like? Okay. That's not what's happening. You have an overflow. You have an overflow, and you are salty. Got to get in the Word to have an overflow, though, okay? That's my mama's 2 cents here. All right, so you have an overflow, and you are the salt of the earth. Okay, now, look at verse 14. So we know where you are, the salt, and then number 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Wow. All right. Again, you need to know what's going on back in the day when Jesus wrote that. They did not have electricity, so they had to use candles. Back in the day, a typical little Jewish mama's house had one window. All right, so during the day, that was probably okay. But come night, you had to light your candles. And they did not have Bic lighters. So they're probably going, all right. So they finally get to the candle lit. And they put it so everybody can enjoy it, right? Now, let's say they get a phone call. No, they get a knock on the door. Please come over here. They're not going to blow that thing out because it takes to do that. So they would take a bowl that had a hole in it, and then they turn it on top, upside down. Now the hole's up here, so there's just enough airflow. It didn't smother it. All right. So that's what was going on back in the day. Now Jesus said, "Let's got to read this again." You are the light of the world. A city that is set on high cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bowl, a basket, right? So what do you do in your house? What do you do when you light your candle? Do you put that bowl on top of there if you're living there? No, you keep that thing off. You want the benefits of the light, right? You want the benefits of the light, all right? Now, you also put it on a stand so everybody else can enjoy it. So Jesus was saying, you as a believer have light. Let it shine before men. Let it shine in the world, all right? You are a light. So when you know whose you are, you know what you do. So you are a light, and you are to do what? Let your light shine, not hide it, all right? Now, I don't care, in case you didn't notice, the world is a mess. I'm telling, just driving on Route 30 yesterday, whoa. Horns beeping, bumper to bumper, mean, ugly, just horrible, all right? So guess what they are? The world, and they need light. So I happened to be at the grocery store, and it got cold yesterday, and I was kind of not dressed with enough clothing. You know, I just kind of went winging with a sweatshirt and my gloves, and so I ran in, got what I needed at the grocery store, and there's this mom who had this cute little thing, and we were making faces, and he's making faces at me, and she pushes him to her car, she unloads him, puts him in the car seat, and there's her grocery cart. This used to always bother me, that I would have to put my kid in the car seat, close the door, and then walk away from my kid in the car and put the grocery cart back. All right? That just used to bother me. I'd be leaving my kid in the car, and you never know what would happen. So, but I had to pray over my kids, and dear Lord, no one ever took them. They're still around. You know, some days you want to go, what? Okay. But I saw this mom, and also it's cold, and I'm cold, and my groceries, and I go, can I take your cart back for you? She just sputtered. Blah, 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 blah. Well, yeah. I said, go ahead, have fun with your baby. All right? Now, I'm not talking about me, but I'm giving you examples of how you let your light shine. Not hard. A little chilly. Not hard, is it? It's not. Now, when you know whose you are, you'll know what to do. Let your light shine. Be salt, let your light shine. Be salt, let your light shine. Now, I didn't preach the gospel to her. That's okay. I just let my light shine, and I'll pray for her. I'll pray somebody else. And who knows, she might have been a Christian. Real simple, when you know whose you are, you know what to do. Okay, so what are you? You are salt and light, and you're supposed to be salty in a dark world, a icky world, a smelly world, a mean world. You're supposed to be salty, and you're supposed to be light. Amen. Okay, everybody, next. What do you do, though, trick question, when you see darkness all around you? Run and hide. Go into the hill country. Is that what you're supposed to do? Listen, you see them all tattooed up, pierced, and half their butts hanging out and their pants, and they're walking down the street. What do you do when you see that? Run for the hills, right? No, you are salt and light. And some of my kids have tattoos now, so I've changed my opinion of that, okay? And a piercing, this stupid thing in their lip. That's okay. All right. What do you do when you're out in the world and they're cussing and they're mean? Run for the hills. No, you are what? Salt and light. All right. What do you do when everybody at work is just grumpy and lying and cussing and doing dirty? What do? Run for the hills and tell your boss. No, be the salt and the light. Okay? That's what you're to do. All right. So everybody say, I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am Christ's empowerment on this earth. Christ's empowerment on the earth. You are Christ's changer on this earth. And if you're running for the hills, nothing's happening. You are Christ's empowered world changer on this earth because you are the salt and the light. Now, some days you roll out of bed and go, shoot, I do not feel it. I just don't feel it. Well, get over your feelings. It's not about your feelings. It's really, You know, the day that I, because listen, I was cold out in that parking lot. I was not feeling light. I just wanted to shove my shopping cart in, hop in my car, and turn on the heat. But you know, when you remember what Jesus has done for you, He's loved you when you were yet a sinner. I like loving people when they're nice to me. That's not too hard. But He loved you when you were yet a sinner. He's forgiven you of all your crud. All right? And then He calls you valuable. When I think on that, it doesn't matter what I feel. Because everybody say, I am the salt of the earth and I am the light of this world. Right. Sure, Pastor D. Amen. Now, turn to Acts 16. Acts 16 are two guys that knew whose they were and they knew what they were called to do. It's Paul and Silas. All right? Paul and Silas, Acts 16, starting around somewhere in there, somewhere in the middle, down at the bottom. I don't know. Let me find it. You find it. I'm just going to tell the story. So, Paul and Silas are, they're walking around, and everywhere they went, they would tell people who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, because they knew who they were and they knew what they were to do. So they're proclaiming, preaching, teaching, telling people about Jesus, and darn, a whole bunch of them get mad at them. All right, they get mad at him, and they got a riot going on. And, of course, it's the big people. The magistrates get so ticked that they're chucking them in jail. All right, but wait a minute. This is Paul and Silas. They know whose they are, and they know what they're to do. They knew they were the salt and the light. Okay, so they get chucked in jail, but starting at verse, I better find this, sorry. The first thing they do, I'm not there yet, hang on. The first thing they do is they strip them in public. They strip them, they beat them with rods, they throw them in prison and fasten their feet on stocks. Now listen, that's not a good day. In public, they strip you. Then they beat you and flog you. Now that's probably a cat of nine tails, is that what they call that thing? And back then, they just didn't hit you once until you said, owie. They would beat you with rods, or they take that whip until your skin's just falling off, all right? They're not having a good day, are they? So they were stripped, beaten, thrown in prison, locked up in jail, and then their legs are put in stocks. Okay, I have acted this out with little kids, and we carry our paper chains. We make them and we put them on, you know, the person here and down here. Nothing. They would spread your legs apart until you had excruciating pain and dump them in a cold prison. But Paul and Silas know they are the salt and the light. And they didn't have a quick conference. Hey, what are we? Oh, that's right. Salt and light. Okay. Maybe we should have a prayer meeting. Okay, let's have a prayer meeting. Okay, you start singing. Ready? Oh, no. That night, they started praying and praising God. Salt and light. They didn't have a meeting to decide this. They knew who they were, and they lived it, and they knew what to do. It flowed out of them. They started praying and praising God. My prayer would have been, get me the heck out of here. I want lightning to strike everybody dead. Well, yeah, yours would be that way too, all right? Just get me the heck out of here, all right? No, they're praising and singing hymns to God. Okay, so I probably would have ditched the hymns and done the prayer. No, they prayed, and it doesn't say what they prayed, but if they knew they were the salt and the light and they're singing, I bet you they're praying salt and light prayers. Salt and light prayers is you're praying for everybody around you. You're praying for those that despitefully use you. We're praying for those that have harmed you. So they start praising and praying God, and who hears them? The prisoners. The prisoners hear them. That's what salt and light does. It affects people. It affects people around you. All right? Now, they didn't walk up to everybody. Hey, Joe, are you born again over there? They didn't do any of that. They just were worshiping God. Guys, your salt and your light is not always the words you say. It's the life you live. Right? And, you know, the interesting about light, I was kind of thinking on this as I was driving over here. There are certain plants that you can put in full light, and they thrive. You can just attack them with the word, okay? And there's other plants, you give them a half part shade, part sun, and you do a gradual thing, and they grow. So don't beat yourself up. Well, I didn't lead them to the Lord. Just let your light shine. God will tell you how to and what to, okay? All right? And but when he says to, go to, all right? All right, now, so they're in there praising and worshiping, all right? And part of the thing that's happened is they are reflecting who they are. They're actually reflecting whose they are. They're reflecting Jesus. They're reflecting who lives in them so big that they start praising and praying, all right? And then the jail shakes, they have an earthquake, and the guard, the jailer, the head jailer, wakes him up. Now, I don't think you're supposed to be asleep on the job, but he wakes up and he comes running in and he's like, he's ready to kill himself. Because back in the day, if your prisoner got loose, you were dead. That was your responsibility, Shirley. You let him out, you're dead. So rather than have the embarrassment, the shame of being tortured and dead, he just was going to do it himself. And what do Paul and Silas do? Stop! Now, me, kill him, Lord. Look what he did to us. No, they are salt and light. They know they're preservatives of an impure, not nice jailer. And they're light he needs because he's in darkness. Wow. What, those guys are top dog of Salt and Light Club. All right? Look what they did. And honestly, I'm still letting that happen in my life. Hallelujah. And you know, really, the Bible says we should not be ashamed of the gospel. All right? Listen, nobody else, they're a bunch of yuck guys down there locked up. Nobody needs to know you're a Christian. They're locked up down there. They could have kept their mouth and prayed their own prayers about themselves. But they were not ashamed of the gospel. They knew who they were. They knew they were light and salt, that they were just going to let it shine. Okay? Now, who loves to make you hide your light? That's Satan. I know. He just plays tricks on your brain. He wants you to hide your light, cover your light, blow it out. Okay, you know the old song? You can sing with me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. He can do that. You give him you give it to him. You don't have to. And this is all right. You don't have to let him blow out your light. You don't. He just would love to. And the world is in darkness and they need your light, don't they? Just drive down Route 30 on Saturday. Golly, Jesus. I kept going, why did you leave the house, dumb? It was like patience and I couldn't even speed, which I know I love to go fast, so it was just ridiculous. All right. Now, I'm going to give you some suggestions on ways to let your light shine and be salty. Okay, you heard my thing about at the grocery store. Sherry was telling me she was supposed to do a quick errand, and she flew into Ulta. Ladies know what that is. And she just wanted to get one thing. She didn't. She got a couple things. She got online. She says, now, when I came in, Mom, the line was only over to here. But when I got my extra things and I had to ask this person if I should do this color or that color, whatever, and she goes, I'm ready to check out, and the line is back. And she goes, first off, she's supposed to be in the office, not going shopping. And I get this text message, I'm running a little late. All right. She has an opportunity to be the salt and the light at the back of the line. Or you could be like everybody in the world that's in that line that are grumbling and not talking. They don't even look at you. All right. So she said, I'm the salt. I'm the light. I'm the salt. Hi! How are you? You know, you just got to strike up a conversation with the world, all right? Just say hi. Smile at them. Show them your pearly whites. That is a good way. That's an easy way. You don't need a script. Everybody say, hi. You just let your light shine. A little salty. Good, all right? Another thing is, I've been a part of this, not in recent years, but I do know a corporation. The city schools, these are really rough schools when we were in Tulsa, rough schools, they got smart and realized they needed help from the community. So they asked the community, businessmen, do you have any people in your business that would come in during lunchtime and will assign a child to you and just read to them? I'm too busy. I'm the head of this. I'm the CEO. You know, that's what most people would say. This program was phenomenal. It was adopt a school, and I actually went. I actually went 2 years ago with Sherry. Business High Corp was one of those that sponsored a school, and it was phenomenal to watch. At lunchtime, I forgot the other part. You were allowed to go to McDonald's and bring a child a meal. So we hit the fast food, and of course I got one too, and we're munching them really fast in the car. We pull up to the car along with two of her coworkers. One is, I think, the accountant for the company, and the other girl was a sales rep, and Sherry, and I was mom, so I came along. And we walked into the room, to the build, signed in, and the businessmen in two-piece suits, I don't wear three-piece, and grandpas, young people, old people, coming in, letting their light shine. And they did tests on this. The kids' scores after 2 years climbed. People just sacrificing a lunch break. Number one, you got out of the office. It was really great. Their boss let them do it. But they sacrificed and went in to read to kids. But I also noticed some of them weren't reading to kids. This little child was allowed to pick a game. So they could play a game with you. And they just had one-on-one. And it just, you know, these kids are coming from rough homes, and somebody thought they were valuable and precious. Somebody, and I don't know if half of them were born again or not, but they were given themselves. That's how you let your light shine. That's how you show yourself salty, all right? For all of you that were able, now you didn't have to, but were able to do New Life for Girls, you were salt and light. This past week, Angel Tree, Randy Graham, Randy, you here? Hey, I told him to be here. Okay. Angel Tree is a ministry, it's a prison outreach ministry through Chuck Colson's ministry. He went to prison for a while there, didn't he? He knows what it is to be in and to be out. And he had great compassion, and he started this program for inmates' children. For the inmates' children. And they collect gifts and give them out. So today at 4 o'clock, the presents have been wrapped. Who are my rappers? Cassie, who else? Kurt was here. The Carls, oh gosh, hysterical. Sam, Tom, we wrap gifts. They're all downstairs. And at 4 o'clock, half of the bunch, parents or caregivers of these children, will come and receive a gift. And it says, love daddy, love mommy. Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be salty and light. We need some help giving the gifts out. You don't have to wrap them. You don't have to. The wrapping was fun. And you don't have to do anything except for someone's going to walk in the building. They're going to be all starry eyed. I met grandmas and moms and caregivers and aunts and uncles. They're going to come, and they have their name. We match it up, and we pick, oh, there's the name, and we hand it to them. We need some we's to hand to. If you would like to be salt and light today, go see Randy after church. And let your light shine. Pastor D, I don't know what to say. Go, here, it's a gift. Now, ideally, I'd like you to talk to them. But it was really interesting because Friday, two people came in. They were not able, because of their work shift, they came into the office. And this one lady was almost sobbing. She was overwhelmed that this organization was giving her a gift for her children. And I kind of got the impression that was probably the only gifts they were getting. And I stood there for 2 seconds going, I don't know what to say. But I just said, can I pray for you? That was it. Then the next lady came in, and she's the grandma. She's not the caretaker, but she's the grandma who will take the toys to the children. And she just told me the whole life story. She's also a believer. We just prayed. We went at it. We prayed for her son in prison. So if you'd like to be salt and light, come today. All right? Just help give out gifts. All righty? Real easy. All righty. Oh, praise God, D. Cashin. Where are we going? All righty. A lot of times we say, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. You don't have to say anything, y'all. Just remember you, whose you are, what you are, and what you're called to do. Just let your light shine. Amen? All right. Now, how many of you want to be salt and light? No, not to Randy, just in life. Every hand up. Yeah, all right. Okay. Randy, you should turn around and put all the names down here. All right. Well, Father God, I thank you that the Holy Spirit will seal this word in people's hearts. Now, no word is good unless you act on it. So right now, I want you to think of somebody who you know is in darkness, whose life hurts, who may not know Jesus. I want you to think about them right now. Think about their name, okay? This is how you act on this, all right? You ready? Now, they could be your spouse. They could be your kid. They could be your neighbor. They could be your boss. You think about somebody who you know that needs light and salt. Everybody have somebody? Y'all hang around everybody perfect, then they're all born again around you. Yeah, raise your hand. Yes, you know somebody. Okay. All righty. So we're going to pray for them. When I say their name, say their name. All right. Now if they're next to you, you can do this. Okay. All right. All right. Here we go. Father God, we just pray for, thank you. And we pray, Father, for light. Father, I pray, okay, gotta get serious. Father, I pray for these people that you would use us to be light in darkness, that you would use us and many others. And Lord, I know you love them more than we love them. So I thank you that you orchestrate this because we have brought them before you. And Father, use us, and we will give you all the honor and the glory for their life encountering your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now, close your eyes here. I just want to say one more thing. You know, Jesus knew who he was, and he knew what he was called to do. And it wasn't about this little baby in a manger. He knew that he was called. And out of love, he left a wonderful place, heaven, to come and be a light and then to die for us, to set us free from sin, from Satan's bondage. And if you've been listening here today and you're like, yeah, I see people like that, but it's just not that. It's not me. I see it, and I've tried. I've tried filling myself with money, alcohol, computers. I've just tried. And it's not filled me. Well, I got to tell you, it'll never fill you. There's only one person that can fill you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to take out a stony heart and put a new heart in you and fill you with such love that you cannot contain it. And if there's anybody here this morning and you say, I want to be one of those salt and lights, but I need this Jesus, would you raise your hand?